God for it. If he can clothe the lilies of the field, and Solomon in all of his splendor, in all of his glory, was not clothed or arrayed like one of them, oh, how much more can he do it for us? Oh, if he can feed the birds of the air, and they never once drop a plow into the ground, they never plant a seed, but yet they have more than enough food, and he cares about the birds of the sky. Oh my, how much more does he care about us? Oh, his faithfulness is great, isn't it? It extends so far beyond many times what we even think or imagine. Praise God. Got your Bibles tonight? We're going to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. We're going to hit the pause button in 1 Corinthians, Lord willing, till after I return from my trip to Africa. I thought about originally I might just go on through and preach there until we leave, but before I do leave, I do something a little different in this service, since it is the last service that I will be with you until I return from Africa. I'm going to preach for just a little while tonight, if you can believe that or not. Just a little while. And I won't emphasize little, I might emphasize while, but I'm going to preach for a little while. And then I'm going to give you in this message some thoughts about how you can partner with me in prayer for the trip. Not only myself, but Brother Austin will be going, Brother Daniel Woods, Brother Emery Surguy, they're from North Carolina, them two, and Brother Austin. Well, he's from all over. He's an evangelist. He would tell you right now their home base is in North Carolina, but, oh, they've got connections everywhere. So we'll just, tonight he's going to be a part of ALT, okay? And don't tell Brother Derek I said so, because that's his church that he goes to. But tonight he's going to be part of ALT, all right, because he's here, amen? But we're getting ready to go on this trip, and after I share with you some of these thoughts about how you can partner together in prayer for this trip, at the conclusion of this message, I'm going to call my wife and family, and Brother Austin, welcome to join up here as well. And I'm going to ask this congregation, first of all, the board members of this church, and also anybody else that would gather around, and I'm going to ask you to pray over us tonight and send us off with prayer. I believe, you know, some of you have already told me you've been praying and you're going to be praying, and I believe that. But tonight, I want to just give us a little bit of instruction, a little bit of reminders on how I would personally, I'd call this just a personal prayer request, as it were, of how maybe you can pray for us while I'm going to be gone for about 10 days, about halfway around the world. And I'm trusting God to do it. I want a safe and productive trip for the kingdom of God. Recently, in studying for Sunday school, I noticed how often Paul requested for the churches to pray for him. That is something Paul did often, and I've read over it, but it just really stuck out in my heart as I thought about that. And the particular prayer request that Paul makes is given for us here in Romans 15. That's where we're going to start. We're going to go a few other places. Keep your Bibles handy. As I like to do, I want you to see in the pages of Scripture that I'm not just giving you something out of thin air, but I'm pulling it out of Scripture. I found this striking, that the great Apostle Paul, the missionary who planted more churches than many could name and will probably ever know on this side of eternity, he wrote Scripture under the inspiration of God. He worked miracles under the power of God, who had visions of things that cannot be uttered, did not believe that ministry would be fully successful without the prayers of God's people. And you say, well, why in the world is that? Because he understood that mission was and is not a solo act. Paul didn't go alone. He went with the prayers of the saints. And he believed that the advance of the gospel was not just about the preaching, but also about the praying of the church. And I believe that. I believe the success of what we're going to do in Tanzania, Africa. It's just going to be a small trip, Oh, there's a lot more that can and should be done after we leave, but the success of it's going to be partially tied to people praying and trusting God to move. So let's read together Romans 15. Just going to read a few verses of scripture here. Romans 15, verse number 30. And if you're there, we're going to read through the end of that chapter. It's only down to verse 33, but if you're there, say amen. Paul writes and he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Notice the language that Paul uses. Notice verse 30 there. He says, "Strive together with me in your prayers." This is intense language. It's as if Paul is saying that I'm about to enter into a struggle or a battle, and I need you, church in Rome, to come alongside of me in the fight and to do so with your prayers. He doesn't say, "I just want you to think about me." He doesn't say, "Wish me well in my ministry endeavors," but he says, "I want you to strive with me." And that's what I want to talk to us about for just a few moments tonight. Strive together with me in prayer. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of scripture. Lord, we see Paul's example. He believed that mission work and the outreach to souls and the work of the gospel was not a solo ministry. It's not just solely upon the shoulders of the man doing the preaching, but Lord, it rests upon the hearts of faithful saints that will go and they will intercede on the behalf of the minister, and they will pray and ask God to move. And Lord, I trust you here that an Abundant Life Tabernacle, you touch the heart of this people as this pastor goes, not on my own efforts, but in the power of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would move the heart of this people to intercede, that this ministry would be done for your glory. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Just to give you a little understanding of what we're going to do there, just some of the ministry we're going to do that we know about, if the Lord wills. On Wednesday night, me and Brother Austin are going to be there at the orphanage there in Moshi, Tanzania. And we're going to be ministering to the children. We're both going to take just a little short time. We're going to minister to some of those orphan children. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not exactly a youth minister, but I will tell you, I do love children. And it's going to be an opportunity just to minister to them. On Friday, we're going to be preaching a pastor's conference or teaching at a pastor's conference in the Rift Valley. We're going to travel several hours out into the Rift Valley, and we're going to meet with some of these pastors. Some of them don't even have buildings in which to house their congregation. Some of them are very poor. They have very little means, but we're going to go there, and we're going to open up the book of Ephesians, and myself, Brother Austin, Brother Emery, and Brother Woods are going to walk through that book with these pastors. So I need you to pray about that and ask God to make that time for fruitful. Next Sunday, we're going to be ministering to some of the local churches. Don't know exactly fully where yet, but just pray that God will use us as we minister. And now these details may change depending on the trip, but the point remains, I cannot do it without prayer. Amen. I need prayer, and we all need prayer. Your prayers are not just appreciated, they are essential to the kingdom work of God going forward. But here's the question I want you to wrestle with today. What does Scripture teach us about the role of prayer in missions? The role of prayer in missions. And to answer that, I want to look here at Paul's pattern of prayer requests, why those prayers matter, and how you can join in the struggle through prayer today. So let's look first of all, Paul's pattern of prayer requests. That's the first thing I want to take note of. And I want you to keep your Bibles handy because I want to walk through several places here and read some verses of Scripture. Oh, recently, while studying the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, as I said, I was reminded of how Paul often asked the churches to pray for him. He wasn't shy to make this request. He asked it boldly. He asked it repeatedly. He asked it with full assurance that when he told the church to pray, that they would follow through with that pursuit. He didn't view prayer as an optional extra or just a nice gesture. Oh, for Paul, prayer was central to the mission strategy of the kingdom of God going forward. Let's just look at some of the things that Paul asked the church to pray for. And you don't have to turn there just yet. I'm going to get you to turn there in a moment. But here in Romans chapter number 15, verses 30 through 32, when Paul is writing to the church in Rome, he asks them to pray for safety and success in ministry. Paul was heading into a dangerous territory in Jerusalem where he had many opponents and enemies, and he relied upon the prayers of the saints to trust God for protection for him and success in ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 11, Paul's going to ask the church there in Corinth in his second letter recorded for us unto that church. Oh, he's going to ask them to pray for deliverance through the prayers of many, because he saw prayer as a mean of actual rescue. It wasn't some theoretical conversation with God, but something that affected real change in the life and in the heart of ministry. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, Paul is going to ask the church in Ephesus to pray for boldness to proclaim the gospel. Paul wasn't naturally fearless, but he depended upon prayer for courage. He wanted the church to pray for him that he would have the courage to speak what needed to be spoken and to say what needed to be said. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul asked the church in Philippi there to pray for deliverance through prayer and the Spirit, because he knew that prayer and the Spirit's work went hand in hand. To the church in Colossae in chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he's going to pray for open doors and clarity while preaching the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 25, Paul is going to make a very simple plea. He just says, pray for us. He doesn't tell them exactly what to pray. He just says, pray for us. Will you intercede to heaven on our behalf? We need prayer. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 2, he's going to ask the church again there in Thessalonica for the spread of the gospel and for protection from evil people. He longed for the word of God to move freely to the people that he ministered to. And as I reflected on how often Paul felt desperate need for prayer, I was reminded of how much more I need people to be in prayer for me. When I'm there in Tanzania, but I'll tell you this. Pray for this pastor when I get back from Tanzania. I'm going to need your prayers then as well. But right now it's fresh on my heart. I'm asking the church to pray. I'm asking as often as you think of it and you get the opportunity. Lift up our names before the throne. You haven't even got to call us out by name if you don't have time. Just pray that God would move in the ministry that we are trying to do. Paul didn't hide behind the facade of self-sufficiency. He admitted his weakness and his need. And that is what makes prayer so powerful. It is an admission that we cannot do this on our own strength. I'm going to stand before you and be 100% honest with you. I cannot do ministry in my strength. I can try. And I can promise you this. I will fail if I do it in my own strength, whether I'm standing behind this desk or if I'm over there underneath a tree in Africa somewhere preaching the gospel. In my own strength, I cannot do it. Jesus told his disciples as such in John chapter 15. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing is possible without his strength. And when we pray, and when I call upon you to pray, I am admitting that I've got to have his help, and we need him to move in our midst. Thought about a story I once read about Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of London. And he was asked when the Metropolitan Tabernacle had taken off and it was running, I think at its peak, 11,000 people is how many that church ran at its peak. And somebody asked Charles Spurgeon one day, right during the service, at the beginning of the service, they had come up to him and they asked him, said, Pastor Spurgeon, what is the secret to your successful ministry? What is the secret to you being able to do what you do and this church being the size that it is, and all that goes on, and all the outreach that takes place here in London? He said, well, I could tell you, but I'd rather show you. And he took them down underneath that old church, that old tabernacle that they had converted. It wasn't originally a tabernacle, but they converted it into a church. And he walked them downstairs. And there downstairs was a little room. And in that room was a group of saints. And they were on their knees praying. He said, this is the boiler room for this church. And it is by the prayers of this people that all you see upstairs going on happens. Because there are people downstairs where nobody sees, praying and touching the throne of God. And I can tell you tonight, I feel the same way. All that people see that happens, whether there or here, is because somebody has been praying and God has heard that prayer. Oh, God help us. Paul's pattern of prayer requests. Let's notice, second of all, I just want to give you this: why your prayers matter. You might be thinking, okay, but does my little prayer really make a difference? You know, if I whisper a little prayer while Brother Shane's over in Africa, Brother Austin's ministering, if I just whisper a little prayer, does it really make a difference? Isn't God going to do what he's going to do anyway? Anybody ever heard somebody say something like that? Well, God's going to do what he does anyway. What difference does it make whether I pray about it? Especially not my prayer. Well, let me answer you with three reasons why your prayer matters. First of all, prayer is participation. When you pray, you are joining the mind of the mission. You may not be boarding a plane, like we will be tomorrow at about 5:30 in the evening, but you are entering the spiritual battlefield. Prayer is not just watching from the sidelines. It's stepping onto the field of ministry spiritually and saying, I'm going to help. Help carry some of the throne or some of the need to the throne of God and believe him to help and to intervene. I thought about NASA. Not necessarily NASA that we have around here, but I thought about NASA launching these craft into space, these rockets into space or spacecraft. So, you know, there'll be some astronauts on board of that thing. And they're the ones that everybody sees. They're the ones that they interview. Was it recently they bought those astronauts home that had been stuck in space for a while? And man, people were clamoring to get interviews with those people. They had lost so much muscle mass. They had these issues and those issues. But nonetheless, that was the face that everybody saw. But how many people think about that ground control that's over there? All those engineers that have worked tirelessly to make sure that that mission is successful. All the scientists, all the people a part of mission control. The astronaut may be the one in the rocket, but the entire team is essential to the mission. It's the same way when someone goes out for the gospel, the church is mission control. I need Abundant Life Tabernacle to be a mission control, amen. Oh, because you're participating, whenever you pray for this work. Second of all, prayer is powerful. Let me believe that. That's simple enough, ain't it? How many have seen prayer work in your lives? How many have seen it recently? Amen. I've seen it. I've experienced it recently. I've told my wife just today, I looked at her and I said, you know, honey, I said, God's been good to us this year. I said, not just in some of the spiritual blessings, but even just how he has blessed in some ways just beyond what I could ever even think or ask. Oh, I said, because, and I'll tell you part of it, it's because there's been prayer going on. And God has answered some prayers. Prayer is powerful. Prayer opens doors. It protects from harm. It gives boldness. It sustains the weary. And it helps fruit to be brought forth. Prayer is not empty words. It is spiritual power unleashed. Acts chapter 12, Peter sitting in a jail cell. Chained between guards, he's not able to get out. But what's the church doing? They're outside praying. And it was the power of prayer, I firmly believe, is the reason why in the middle of the night, oh, that angel came into the room and Peter walked over there and he knocked on the door where the church was praying, and the young girl couldn't even believe it. She didn't even want to let Peter in at first because she couldn't hardly believe that God had actually answered the prayer, not 10 days from now, not 5 years from now, but he had done it right then. Prayer is powerful. And third, prayer is partnership. Missions is not just about the one who goes, but it's also about those who send. Every prayer is an investment in eternity. I told you the other day, I said, even a cup of water in the name of a disciple, in the name of a prophet, he said, you'll receive a prophet's reward. Oh, you think if God will give a reward for a cup of water in the name of one of his ministers, don't you think he'll give a reward for those who take that minister to the throne room of God and they cover them in prayer and they ask God to move? I dare say I believe that God will. I believe that he will honor those prayers and he will hear them and he will work. Prayer is partnership. When you're praying, you are not just helping the missionary, you are partnering with God himself in advancing his kingdom. Oh, thank God. And to be on God's side, there is nothing that can stand against. Amen. Prayer is partnership. It is powerful and it is participation. So now I come to the practical part. How to pray for us. How in the world can you pray specifically for us? I want to give you five things. Now I'm going to do it very quickly. Got your Bibles? I want you to just turn with me very quickly. Five things. Paul gives us a template, and I want to ask you for the same things. If you want to write them down, if you've got a good memory, however, first of all, turn with me, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 19. This is one of the prison epistles of Paul, Lord willing. This coming Friday, we're going to be in the Rift Valley. We're going to be teaching through the book of Ephesians. Now, I don't have Ephesians chapter 6, but I'm familiar with what it says. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19, when Paul is bringing this to a close, he's just talked about the power of prayer, and he is there imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. He asks this prayer request for them. And as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. How do you want to pray for us? First of all, pray that God will give us boldness. God will give us boldness. Nobody knows the intimidation that comes to a preacher when it comes to preaching the gospel sometimes. Because it doesn't matter whether it's in America or wherever you are, there's a certain level of intimidation. There's a certain level of fear and trepidation, that old word that we don't use very often, that comes over you. And you know what you need to say, but you want to say it right. Will you pray for boldness? That God would grant us boldness. Second of all, go with me, Colossians chapter 4. Pray for boldness, that I won't shrink back in fear, but proclaim Christ clearly. Colossians 4, when Paul is writing another one of the prison epistles, Colossians 4 and 3, he said, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds. So pray for boldness. Second of all, pray for opportunity. Pray for opportunity. Yes, I understand that there are some things on the schedule. There is, as I already just mentioned briefly, some of the opportunities of ministry that, Lord willing, are going to be there. But I need the Spirit of God to open the door of opportunity wide. And not only the door of opportunity, but to let me know when it's open so I can walk through it. Pray for opportunity. Pray that God will create opportunities, not only to share the gospel, but also he would open the opportunity in the heart of the people so that they would receive the word of God with faith. So pray for boldness, pray for opportunity. Go over verses we studied in Sunday school if you were here. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. We'll stay right here in 2 Thessalonians for the next two. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Not only for opportunity, but pray for fruitfulness. Pray that when the door is open and we cast the seed, the word of God is planted. That word phthadia, free course, means to run swiftly. Pray that the word of God is unhindered and it reaches the goal for which God has intended it. And then I will ask you for this. Boldness, opportunity, fruitfulness. Look right there in that next verse. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Protection. We need God to protect. We need traveling mercies. We need protection while we are there. I understand we're going to be going into a region that is somewhat stable, but that doesn't mean that there aren't evil people there. Pray for protection. Pray for God to work and that we would be delivered from the unreasonable and the wicked. Pray for safety from sickness, from opposition, and spiritual attack. We need God to put up a fence around us and to be protectors on our side. We need protection, fruitfulness, opportunity, boldness. Finally, Romans 15, where we read from, is our text. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Oh, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. But then, notice verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Oh, I need God's strength. I need God to strengthen while we're there, and I trust the Lord to give strength so that when I return, we can have joy together in celebration that God has blessed all the way through. I look forward to returning to this church and standing up here and telling you about what God has done. But from this moment to the point that we return and we are rejoined back together, we need God's strength. We need Him to undergird and for Him to refresh as he sees fit. These prayers are not generic. They are striving in the Spirit, and they help to shape the kingdom of God. So I ask you, let's do this together. So we stand all over the building, asking you to pray spiritual strength, protection, fruitfulness, opportunity, and boldness. Oh Lord, let it be. Notice, remember that word that Paul used together. He said that word, strive, together with me in prayer. Strive. It's a big long word in the Greek. I'm not going to try to butcher it tonight. But it means to wrestle or to struggle together. It was used of athletes side by side in the arena. Prayer is not passive. It is not casual. It is wrestling together in the Spirit for the sake of the gospel. So here is my challenge to you. Will you strive with us in prayer? Will you commit to praying for us And will you step into the battle as a partner in this mission? As Paul often asked the church to pray over him. This is how I'm going to close tonight. I'm going to invite you to do the same. Brother Austin comes forward this evening. We'll stand before this congregation. I want my wife, where she's at, if she's able. I don't know if she's able. I want her to come up. She's going to stand next to me, and I'm going to ask the board members of this church, I want you to come forward, and then everybody else that wants to gather in behind them. If you are able and you are willing tonight, would you come forward? And I want you to pray that God would make this time successful. I'm not going there in my own ability. I'm not going there trying to do my own thing. I'm going there as a representative, not only of Jesus Christ,